John the Cross is a very, very famous Spanish mystic of the 16th century. His dates were 1542 to 1591. He actually is one of the greatest Christian mystics. In some sense, you could almost call him like the mystic's mystic. When you read him, you really know that you're in the presence of the real thing. He became a Carmelite monk in his 20s. He was ordained a priest. Shortly afterwards, he met Teresa of Avila, who was about 27 years older than he, who's also a Carmelite nun, and she was in the process of trying to reform the Carmelite order, making it more spiritual and less worldly. And she enlisted John's help because she recognized in him that he was the real thing, as he recognized in her, and they became very, very good friends. And they basically shared the same kind of spirituality that was reflected in their writings. There was a lot of political stuff happening in the church at that time, as is always happening in the church, and there was a strong movement in the Carmelite not to reform. And so one night they took John from his wherever he was staying in his room, and they imprisoned him and they tortured him and they forced him or tried to force him to denounce the Reformation. He refused, not the Protestant Reformation, the Reformation of the Carmelites, and he refused, and they kept him in prison for 9 months, and he escaped. And actually, I read a lot about John, and nowhere does it say how he escaped. Somehow they just say miraculously he escaped. He was in a very, very small cell and under conditions which were pretty awful. Anyway, while he was there, he wrote one of his greatest poems. That's not what you have here, called The Spiritual Canticle, which is about 40-some-odd verses, and he wrote 31 of the verses while he was in prison. He then escaped, and he rejoined Teresa, and he kind of did a lot of work. He was he was a very, very well-known as a spiritual director. He was very highly thought of. He was a very kind and gentle man, and people really wanted to talk to him about it. About their problems, their spiritual journey, etc. And then he died in 1591. He's best known for his poems and his writings on his poems. I do not know Spanish, unfortunately, but his poems are wonderful in English. They're supposed to be even more exquisite in Spanish, and he's regarded as one of the finest Spanish poets. He basically wrote three major poems, or the two that you have on the sheet, and the Spiritual Canticle. Which all reflect his own kind of mystical experience and his own experience of union with Jesus and with God. As was the custom in the Carmelites at that point, it was the custom that Teresa of Avila began, people would write poems and share them with each other as a way of kind of joining and helping each other on their own spiritual journey. When people read John's poems, they didn't know what the hell he was talking about. And so they asked him if he would write about it. And so he then did a line-by-line exegesis of his poems. And these are the greater bulk of his writings. When it came to The Dark Night, he never got past the second stanza of the 8 stanzas. He did complete his work on the Living Flame of Love, and he did write on the Spiritual Canticle. And his commentaries really basically formed the bulk of his writings on mysticism and spiritual development. He was a very, very holy man, and obviously, when you read his work, you know that he was not talking from his head. He was really talking from his own experience. He's best known for the phrase "the dark night of the soul," which I refer to a lot. Although strictly speaking, he never actually used that phrase. He talked about the dark night, as you see in this poem. He talked about the dark night of the senses, but I don't think he actually ever used that term, although clearly that's what he's talking about. What he emphasized in his writings, which is basically only kind of hinted at in these poems, you don't get any of the real detail, of course, is that one does not attain one's experience of love or one's experience of oneness with God without a lot of work. And a lot of journeying through what he referred to as the dark night. In this sense, as a student of the Course, you'll be very familiar with that idea that you don't get to the light until you go through the darkness. Right? And we'll discuss that a great deal more later on. He was very clear about that. He was also very, very sharp, very, very intuitive when he worked with all these nuns and monks who were professing to have these wonderful mystical or spiritual experiences. And John recognized that these were really not the real thing, and that one does not decide one day to have an experience of union with God and the next day have it. All right. He did not use the term ego, of course, and he certainly did not have the kind of psychological sophistication we have today, but he certainly had it intuitively, and he recognized the tremendous struggle involved in letting go of oneself, which is you kind of find expressed a little bit in these two poems, and that the spiritual journey was really coming to grips with oneself, one's attachments to the ego thought system, although, of course, that's not his phrase, and then let all that go. He's perhaps best known for the single word nada, which is a Spanish word that means nothing. And for John, the way up the mountain, and since he was a Carmelite, the image that he used was ascending Mount Carmel. In fact, his first major work, which began as an introduction to his analysis of the Dark Night, was called The Ascent of Mount Carmel. And as he talks about this, that as one makes one's way up the mountain, one must divest oneself of all worldly attachments, which we would then understand as being all ego attachments, so that there is nothing left of your ego. And when you get to the top of the mountain, there is nothing. There's not a Bible. There's not a Catholic Church. All there is that experience of love. Right? That's what nada means. That in a sense, you negate everything that's not of God and whatsoever is of God. You know, John, therefore, is part of a very rich tradition that you find not only in the West but also in the East, that the Course is also a part of. That's the tradition that you negate what is not of God and what is left is of God. In other words, you look at your ego. You let go of your ego, you let go of your attachment to the thought system of the ego, of individuality, separation, guilt, specialness, attack, and what's left is the love of God. And that's how one makes one's ascent up the mountain. When you read John, and I'll go through these poems with you, you have to recognize that he's a creature of his culture. Right? He was a 16th century Spanish Catholic monk. All right, so Christianity, of course, was very, very important to him. He knew his scripture backwards and forwards. Clearly, he gave it a spiritual interpretation, but he was very, very Catholic. Jesus was extraordinarily important to him. He was also an accomplished artist, and there's a very, very famous drawing of his of Jesus on the cross. And when you look at the drawing, you could almost feel Jesus bursting out of the cross, bursting off the cross, and in a sense being free of it. He did not believe in suffering for the sake of suffering. He believed that suffering was an inevitable part of letting go of one's ego. I think that's probably enough about John as a kind of background. These three poems, again, that he wrote, the spiritual canticle came first, again, when he was in prison at Toledo. The second was The Dark Night, and the third poem, major poem, was The Living Flame of Love. He wrote many other poems, and he had a lot of other incidental writings, but these three are his kind of his major achievement. All right, The Dark Night is his eight stanzas. We're not going to do kind of a line-by-line thing. I mean, anybody who's interested, just get a hold of a copy of John the Cross's work, and you'll find it. I mean, he's the best commentator on his own work. So, right. Now, let me also mention, because a little bit later I'm going to read some of Helen's Dark Night poems. In Helen's Dark Night poems, as she's writing them, you get the clear sense that she's experiencing them. What you find in The Dark Night is it's after the fact. In other words, John is looking at the dark night from someone who's already passed through it. So that in Helen's poems, as you'll see when I read them with you, you get much more of a sense of the anguish of being in that darkness without any sense of light anywhere. Now, again, that's implicit in what John is talking about. And when he comments on the poems, he elaborates on that. But in the poems itself, you don't really get that feeling. Again, he's writing about the experience after it has happened. Right. So for him, the darkness is not a negative thing because it was a way to get to the light. And again, what he's referring to, especially when we look at his poems from the perspective of A Course in Miracles, that what he's talking about is the darkness of looking and getting to the bottom of one's ego. Right? And recognizing the abyss that the ego thoughtism represents.